There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
And here we go. Monday Grand Edition of Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Next couple hours, you and I hanging out here. Phone number and the text line is how you get in touch. They're the same number. It's so for a text or a call, it's 343-0106. Plus, you can use that FM Talk 106.5 app to leave us a talkback message. Unless you record a message, emails it to the station, and we can play it back on this show or in the other 56 hours a week of live local shows coming from our gold-gilded, opulent, and ruled by Mardi Gras folly studios right here at Airport N65. Right, speaking of what's going on in town, we'll get our buddy Todd Stacey is going to join us in just a second. But yes, I know the biggest story talked about is what has entered the port here in Mobile, the SS United States. I heard during the morning show they were spotting it a little after 6 o'clock off Dolphin Island coming up at Farewell Buoy. Now it's up in the port. I don't know if they have taken it and tied it up yet. But it is here. I know like 15 minutes ago, it was definitely in the port. Could see the video of it. So there you go. Getting reports from that. I guess that's the big story. There's our Mardi Gras ship coming in. It's actually the Mardi Gras ship is the McFall, right? Which I saw those sailors. I'd love to see. I mean, can imagine being on the ship and all that. And then you get to come in to a port of call. It happens to be Mardi Gras when you're here. Watching those sailors have fun when we were parading on Saturday, yeah, with the radio station, see those guys and gals enjoying Mobile, and it was a glorious day to do it, indeed, out there. But yeah, the SS United States now entered the port of Mobile. All right, my friend Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News and Capital Journal joining us now. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Sean, how's it going?
It's good, man. We got a 1,000-plus-foot ship just came into a port here.
So. Is it going to be sunk there, or is it's like off the Gulf somewhere else?
Okaloosa County. Yeah, so off Okaloosa County. But they got a company here that does all the go through and make sure there's not anything that's going to pollute once you sink it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the old days, people, we all just would sink stuff, right? And when they sunk the tanks here and all those things, I don't know if they did a full taking everything out, but the rules are a little different now. So before they sink that ship, they got to make sure that it's... the stuff that's in there that could be a pollutant or out of it, and then the way they cut the holes in it too, so it sinks a certain way, so it doesn't go upside down, so it sinks with its like sitting on the bottom, on its bottom. So they're going to do that. That's going to take a little while.
There's different levels of that. There's also getting some concrete and chicken wire and throwing down a quote unquote wreck.
Yeah, I may or may not. I don't know if statute of limitations has run on that. May or may not have done many of those in
real early in the morning.
Yeah, or usually wintertime when there's not. Yeah, those things may have happened in the past, but not now. So yeah, but it's a big deal. It's a heck of a big ship coming in. It was interesting too that being around here, we're excited about wrecks and things being sunk for diving and fishing and all that kind of stuff. But to hear there was a group then that was, and I guess they were out of the Northeast somewhere, that was petitioning Trump to keep us or keep Okaloosa County from sinking this thing and to preserve it. I'm like, y'all had like 30 years to do something about this and preserve it another way. Okaloosa County bought it, so they were like, oh, no, they're going to sink this piece of history.
Well, I mean, maybe that is, but fair and square, and it's going to be a pretty, like, the largest reef,
yes.
I think.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool. I love going out and fishing, and I don't know how much it'll cost, but
no, wait,
because it'll be a long time before it gets going.
Yeah, but I mean, people will be able to go out there, and it will. It'll draw, you know, tourists in. I mean, divers are going to come in. It's like our underwater forest here in Alabama. When we get the protections right to be able to publish the coordinates, GPS coordinates, there's going to be a lot of people want to dive that. And same things, you know, somebody goes, wow, the largest ship sunk out there. Yeah, I want to go dive that. That's going to be cool.
Right.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's going on. A stack of things I want to talk to you about today. From yesterday's email and story here, and I heard some talk about it. It's a commuting of the death sentence, not of the sentence for Rocky Myers, right? That the governor commuted.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's not. So Rocky Myers is still going to spend life in prison, but it's about the death sentence portion of this.
That's correct.
So what did governor, and this is interesting, because usually you hear, you know, by the time a governor is going to chime in on something, it's like, you know, heck yeah, or whatever. But in this case, it is very interesting, and I wonder what information, it made me really interested in the case that the governor said, I'm not convinced he's innocent, but I'm not convinced he's guilty, right? That's a bigger question than, okay, if we're going to do that, then why is he in prison in the first place?
Yeah, and this came on my radar when the... there was a juror in the case, someone who sat on the jury, and she wrote an op-ed for Alabama Daily News basically saying that she regrets her vote. And she kind of explained in that piece that they were under a lot of pressure to not only convict, but to and there was like a deal with the prosecutor or whatever that if they convicted him, then they would, you know, they would not get a life sentence because the jury did not vote for a life sentence. That was a judge thing. And so, I mean, I'm sorry, for a death sentence. For,
right.
You know, I guess back then it was the electric chair. And so...
and that's changed in Alabama, right? It used to be that the judge then had purview even to disagree with the jury on a sentence, right? But didn't that change?
I'm not really sure where that stands. I know that people have been trying to change that. But this juror basically said, you know, we as a jury agreed to that because there were lots of questions. We agreed to that with the understanding that he would not be put to death, but just, you know, maybe even be available for parole. But, you know, there's a lot of questions. There was no murder weapon. There was no, you know, there was a lot of evidence that's just in question. And so this is exactly the kind of case where this is why the governor has clemency authority, right? If there are serious questions, then I'm glad they took it seriously and mm-hmm. reviewed it. None of us were there. None of us knows what happened. But when things like this happen, there's enough of a question. And again, it's not like she pardoned the guy. It was not
right. She just said
evidence that he's innocent. But there's enough questions. And I
then let's not execute him. Right? That something may come out. You know that he's not guilty.
And she wrote in her letter that she's actually going back to follow the jury's instructions that he's mm-hmm. guilty, but not to sentence him to death, which that kind of makes sense, too. So you never know, but it would certainly be a miscarriage of justice if he truly is innocent. But, you know, we did something that we couldn't take back. So I kind of understood it, but...
Oh, I do,
again,
too.
The Attorney General's pretty mad about it, so I don't know.
Well, I was going to get to that next, but I do want to say I understand it, too. This is a world of things that, like the Innocence Project and all that works on that I'm really interested in. I'm very, you know, some people are, like, flipping about it. You know, well, if somebody gets caught up in it, it's just the wheels of justice. I'm like, no. We got to make sure, I'm not saying you don't deal with the murderer that way, but got to make sure they're a murderer, right? You got to make sure that they did this. And so with these questions being out, like saying, man, I'm not sure enough, and I'm, you know, doing my Sean interpretation of the governor, but saying, man, I'm not sure enough to say you can execute this person. To me, that would then say, and therefore, because of that, we should do a whole new investigation into this case. What
I
had
agree.
That jury where they didn't think so, right? What was going on?
I agree,
on?
And I don't, you know, there is a process for that. It probably could stand to be updated in terms of reviewing evidence, especially DNA evidence and reviewing verdicts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, there's just, we know that there were instances in our past where the scales of justice were tipped. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there have been aggressive prosecutions over the years. You'd like to think it wasn't going on in the early 90s when the jury convicted him. But I don't have a hard time really, you know, believing that. Man, there are going to be a couple of execution candidates like this. The Toforest Johnson case in Birmingham. And I think there's a difference. You know, there is this sort of legal industry out there that their job, their mission is to abolish the death penalty, right? And mm-hmm. so they're going to oppose the death penalty. Doesn't matter how guilty the guy is, caught red-handed, the worst, most heinous thing, and they're going to oppose it because they have a, you know, ideological mission to oppose the death penalty. They're mm-hmm. also going to file every little claim they can to delay things. And I mean, it goes pretty deep, that legal movement. And I'm not saying they're bad people, but that's they're using every tactic to do that. This is not the same thing. This Mm-mm. was a very different group of people, like I said, including the juror herself, who said, look, we just really don't know about this evidence. So I don't consider this a part of that kind of industry to abolish the death penalty. There were some real.
No, this is specific to that case,
right?
I think it is interesting. Now, the attorney general is not happy. He's been public about that. Talk about that.
Yeah, he issued a statement. I guess about an hour or two after the governor did, because this was late on a Friday. It surprised everybody, and he said he was astonished by the decision. He was really sounded like more irritated that she didn't. That the governor did not ask for his input, and I guess just relied on her own chief counsel and Department of Corrections and all that, which I can understand. I mean, if you're the attorney general, you'd want to be involved in that process. But he certainly did not have the same mind that the governor did. Of course, you know, he's pretty aggressive when it comes to crime and punishment and things like that. So maybe I wasn't surprised to see him disagree. But his biggest surprise is, you know, the fact that he didn't even know this was going to happen. And that's fair.
Hey, the punishment part, but like you said, this is a nuance. This is why I think it's interesting, because this is not about the punishment. It's about questions of guilt. And I mean, it's something that has worried me for a long time, that, you know, you use capital punishment and you better be damn sure you got the right person.
Oh, that's right. Absolutely. I mean, that's not what we should do as a state or country.
Correct.
Put people who, I mean, it's got to be beyond a reasonable doubt. And it sounds like maybe this wasn't. There was enough doubt, though. There is enough doubt when it comes to actually executing the guy for something for evidence that's just not all that strong.
As we continue, I want to ask you, it's. Okay, it kind of gets wrapped up with the Doge thing and all this, but right here in Mobile in AL2, you, Congressman Figures sent a letter, you said, to the Secretary of Veterans Affairs for job cuts at VA facilities. Here we talk about all this veteran stuff. Are there real numbers here? Who's being cut? What are their services not being given?
Well, that's what he's trying to figure out. Obviously, the federal Department of Veterans Affairs, very different from the state one we've been talking about.
Right, but this still all affects veterans, I guess, is what, you know.
Well, in a very bigger way.
Yeah.
You know, the state Veterans Department basically does cemeteries and nursing homes.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, the Department of Veterans Affairs at the federal level, that's who does the VA healthcare facilities. That's who does VA benefits. And so, like, whenever you have, they'll generally be like, a hospital,
yeah,
healthcare facility,
sure.
And also, yeah. So we know that Doge is touching basically every agency in state in federal government. Well, VA's right up there, and so there are some indications that VA employees are getting cut all across the country. There were the number we have is 2,400. That's you know, announced on the Doge website. So certainly that probably is going to include Alabama. I think Congressman Figures is trying to get straight on where exactly are these cuts coming and why. You know, so that's, I guess we don't have the answer because the letter was sent just last week.
Yeah,
but
I mean, because
important to know, you know.
It is. I wonder that. I mean, that's a fair question for a representative of the people to ask. Is say what's not? I mean, there's like 430 some odd thousand people working for VA for 2,400 a cut. Are they, you know, is it like, oh well, there was, you know, Bob in there, and Bob was a part time person that emptied the trash, or something? You know, I'm coming up, or is it somebody that in doing this, will a veteran not get a service or get it quickly?
Oh, yeah. And look, when I was working in Congress, there were we dealt with no other agency more than the Department of Veterans Affairs. And that's partly because the one based in Central Alabama was just rampant with malfeasance.
Yeah, I remember those days.
Corruption. Oh, yeah.
Cool.
We succeeded in getting the only VA employee, a senior employee, fired for all that scandal. Only one person got fired, and that I think maybe kind of explains what's going on here. So I have no trouble believing that there are employees within the Department of Veterans Affairs that would be worth taking a look at in terms of efficiency in government. At the same time, there are lots of very hardworking people that take it as a mission, that are veterans themselves. And this is why I hope this DOGE thing moves to a little bit more targeted. They seem to have this kind of broad brush or broad sword, really, when it comes to cutting. It's like, well, let's get the person that isn't doing their job or is, you know, a potted plant in an agency, not the person who's a veteran themselves and is really critical in that role. Maybe they're just new. Maybe they're not past their probationary period. I really hope they get more strategic on this, and hopefully we'll find out more what the VA cuts actually are.
Yeah, we'll watch that. Speaking of watching, people can, of course, check out Capital Journal. Y'all are wide open busy. I guess I should I be surprised that Montgomery doesn't take this week off for Mardi Gras? I don't know. But
I wish. We need more lobbying from the Mobile Alabama delegation about making that a statewide holiday, not just down there.
Well, they got two spring breaks, don't they? Don't they get two spring breaks in the legislature?
Yeah, we can't wait. We can't.
Why don't we make one of them the Mardi Gras week?
I think that's a great idea. I think that might take somebody from South Alabama getting elected, I don't know, speaker or pro tem or something like that.
When hell freezes over. Okay.
Well, they generally do that based on when school spring breaks are. And so you can go across the state and see when different districts' spring breaks are, and you can very quickly understand why the legislature is taking what they're taking.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that.
Well said. To the victor go the spoils.
And it ain't Montgomery. Montgomery's spring break is right in the middle, so go figure.
Yeah, it's where the power. Y'all can, way to track that down. People want to get watch Capital Journal, of course. They can watch it when it airs, but also you can be like me and watch the YouTube.
That's right. That's the easiest way to catch up. I don't like to be up past 10:30.
Right.
But it airs at 10:30, but it's usually on YouTube before. And so we're nightly at 10:30 through the legislative session. Go sign up for that YouTube. It's just a 30-minute episode of what happened in the legislature that day, a quick watch, and we'd be glad to have you as a subscriber.
And then if people want to get these emails, we're always talking about 6 days a week. How do they do it?
Easy to do. Just go to aldailynews.com, enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
All right, Todd, I appreciate you, man, and we'll talk next week.
All right, Sean, happy Mardi Gras. Oh,
happy Mardi Gras. There he goes, Todd Stacy, and we'll be right back. More of the Lundi Gras edition of Midday Mobile coming your way next.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, 1227 FM Talk 106.5 and Lundi Gras edition, Fat Monday. Fat Monday. Enjoy the parades over the weekend, but it was just... I mean, it's really nice for Saturday. Gorgeous for Cocaine Day yesterday, too. Today, very nice. Tomorrow, a little bit of a breeze. I'm kind of thinking that through. Like Dr. Bill, I think, said this morning, talking to Dan and Dalton, there'd be a southeast wind. And pretty, what's the meteorological term? Be pretty sporty. Be a pretty sporty wind tomorrow. Think about how that's going to adjust the flight patterns of the moon pies out there. You know, if you got a southeast wind. Now, some of it, of course, if you're like you're on Royal Street or something like that, you're going to have it blocked from the buildings there. But maybe when you're on the straightaway on Government, which kind of, you know, goes east-west generally with a little bit of a turn in, but east-west route, If so I would say you're probably going to get more throws if you're on the south side of government. With that, I'm just strategizing this stuff. You know, this is stuff we got to do. We got to figure all this out. The strategy of where the moon pines will fly furthest, and those, you know, because you can get in the back of the, you don't have to be right up on the barricade. If it's like that, then you can be right. You can lean up against the ever leaking Mobile government building and catch some way back there. Let's see, text line here. This texter says you can actually see the ship from I-10 heading into the tunnel. Not that the ship is heading into the tunnel, but you can see it from... Yeah, I think, what was it, that the stack on that thing is 6 stories high? I think it is, 6 stories high. So you probably see it from some distance away. This texter says, we don't want Montgomery people coming down here for Mardi Gras. Have you ever met somebody from Montgomery? Well, I've met tons of... that's not right. I have tons of people that work in Montgomery, but live in Montgomery. I had a buddy at the University of Alabama when we were students. He was pretty cool. We'd go back to Montgomery to his family's house, and he's like, okay, we're going to go out and do something. It was like, to me back then, maybe you can tell me why I was wrong. It was very boring to me. It was Mobile at home and Tuscaloosa at school, and Montgomery was boring. Maybe things have changed. Because, I mean, I wasn't paying attention to what was going on in session back then. We were just... go see what the nightlife had to offer. And it wasn't much back then. All right, be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Hi, I'm Sean. Lundi Gras. Fat Monday edition of the show. Time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. And what's y'all's schedule this week? Y'all open?
Yeah, we don't have Mardi Gras out here in Theodore.
Yeah, people would disagree with that, my friend. But if people have the day off, you're going to be open.
No, yeah, we'll be here until 6 tonight and all day tomorrow, just normal business. The rest of the week's all normal, you know. So come see us if you're off work. A lot of people off work tomorrow. It's a good time to go look at cars, and you can still go down to Mardi Gras and spend some time down there as well. But we've got a really good inventory out front. We got the finance companies are, you know, in business to finance cars, and they're doing their job. So we just need the customers to come see us.
Well, you say the finance companies are in business to finance cars. Sure they are, but they're not all cut from the same cloth. They're not all the same. That's one of the many cool things y'all do, right? You kind of match make. It's this kind of car, it's this kind of buyer, here's the right lender.
Yeah, a lot of times when you go look for a car, it's called shotgunning. I mean, they'll take a credit app on you and they'll shotgun it to every lender they got, and then you end up with 20,000 inquiries on your credit bureau, and it makes everybody mad. They've changed the law on that a little bit to where they kind of group all those inquiries into one, but still it's frustrating. We don't look to just see who will approve you. We pretty much know up front, and we're not always right, but the majority of the time we know what we've got, and so come see us and let us try to help you if we can.
All right, well, give them directions.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or just go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
Have a good day, bud.
Hey, you too. There goes David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. See, on the text line, John had said, so I guess response to the unnamed texture from earlier about we don't want Montgomery people coming here. Like, I'm probably going to have to say I agree with John. He said Montgomery money spends just like ours. Bring them in. Yeah, absolutely. Let them come in. I mean, they're not asking me to go to Montgomery, but if they want to come down here, cool. Y'all come on. Have a good time. Speaking of Mardi Gras, too, it's pretty cool. I'm trying to put a picture up. I took one earlier in my office. I don't know, the glare from the fluorescent lights or something was a problem. But it's just cool to see so many throws over the last, which probably started a decade ago or more, that are emblematic of here. You know, like one of the popular ones this year is the brick, you know, they're foam, but they look like a brick from the Civic Center. You know, the ubiquitous, it's every year. It keeps on giving, the Crichton Leprechaun plushie. I'm looking at some beads here. The HLM, Horse Lives Matter, has a rotund rider on a horse. They've solved those problems. And I'm looking at these couple here. pretty cool one, like a fancy beads. Thanks for the memories for the Mobile Civic Center. Of course, this one we talked about the other day. It's got a picture of the Bankhead, and it says Bankhead Tunnel. It's taken off more tops than Mardi Gras, which that doesn't, you know, it's like it doesn't, I don't see that much of, any, of that anymore. I don't know what something's changed. Not like Mobile was ever like New Orleans with that kind of stuff, but I hadn't seen much of that going on. But yeah, so there's just like all kind of cool throws. I like to, you can't keep all this stuff, and we'll talk about the recycling programs and all that later on this week. But there's more things each year now that like make me have to get a box to keep them in, because we have these things that are, you know, they're not just a throw. They're like a Mobile throw. They're cool stuff. So I like them. All right. Okay, we have time to get to this. Yeah, we'll get into it a little bit. Obviously, President Trump has not coordinated with Mobile because tomorrow night there's the address, the address to Congress and the American people. That's the joint session address coming up tomorrow night. You know, here it is. The timing is not good because a lot of people will be just recovering or trying to recover from their day downtown at Mardi Gras. But, yeah, I think it's going to be 8 o'clock our time. And already you see the Democrats out there are saying, you know, to boycott the address, don't go, all that stuff. So, yeah, we could talk about that some. And I'll have to watch it on delay before we get the show started on Wednesday. All right, go to the phones at 343-0106, 343-0106. Robert is in Sims. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Sean. I will be quick. I know sometimes I use up more time than you want me to, but I'm just wondering, did you – this is
depends on how good you are. If you're really good, I'd give you the rest of the hour.
This is going to be interesting, but you might need to call some of your buddies who can maybe give some more insight to this. But I know you say you can't read everything everywhere, but did you hear about that DNA scandal out in Colorado?
I don't think so. Say something. Okay, maybe you talk about the story, it'll jar something in my head, but –
Well, it was just a crime analyst who apparently, now this is in the paper, I'm reading this from Golden, Colorado. She's
home, of course. Home, of course. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Anyway, it's just outside Denver, which I'm sure you know mm-hmm. that. But anyway, apparently she had corrupted like 500 DNA tests. And, you know, that's pretty much the gold standard now. If a prosecutor walks in court and says, well, we've got their DNA here at this time, and, you know, that's pretty much. What you hear, people go, oh, they got DNA. Well, then they got DNA.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And I see this story now that you said a DNA analyst for the Colorado Bureau of Investigation was charged with forgery and other crimes in connection with manipulating DNA evidence. Now, that's scary because, yeah, the DNA evidence was a thing that cleared people, right? I mean, cleared people on these things. So is this just limited to Colorado or what's it?
Well, I don't want to scare you, but you sound like me now. I mean, this is a one of.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm saying you're thinking like me. I'm sure you don't want to say you think like Robert from Sims, but that's what I'm saying.
Some days.
Well, anyway, I just thought, you know, I have come to believe that there are a lot of innocent people in prison or jail. And can you imagine the kind of, and you know, I'm not anti-cop, but I'm anti-cop tactics, which are
And you and I disagree on a lot of those things. But if it sounds like I said to Todd Stacy, we're the idea of sending somebody innocent to execution is. I've heard people tell me before. Well, it's just if it's a very very small number and it's kind of the cost of doing. I don't accept that. That's one of the ones where I'm. I can't go with it. I don't have a problem if somebody's guilty of carrying out sentences, but damn it, you better know they're guilty.
Well, this, like I said, I imagine this. Let me paint a scenario for you. You know, some 35-year-old nerd crime analyst working in a DNA lab, and some smoking hot DA comes in and goes, I need you to help mama out on this one. Now, I know this is the guy. But, you know, I need some help on this. What do you think you can do? I mean, that maybe probably had never happened, but, you know, who knows, right? The world's a big place.
Yeah, I don't know. You police that through – you would have to have, like, two-factor authentication, you know, like they do with your phone or whatever.
You know,
like
who got
two people,
boss.
Two people have to sign off.
The person, my understanding of this case, I read about it a few weeks ago, and you know, sometimes I read about things, and your show won't be. I think you kind of like for the information to flow in on what you're talking about, which is reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought I got to call Sean, tell him about it. I read about it about 2 weeks ago. Sean, I bet Sean hadn't read, seen this.
I have not. So yeah, I've got it up on my screen now, Robert, and I will probably be doing after the show today. But I'm reading some of the headline part of it here. Did they give any reasoning? Was it specific to certain cases, or was it omission or commission? Were they just sloppy or like?
Well, she was not. I do know this, and if you'll read, I believe I'm telling you this right. Fact check me on this point, but I'm pretty sure an intern working in the lab is the one who turned her in, or whatever
Good.
Term you use for her coworkers. Apparently, she was skipping some. Now, and I'm just using my language here. I may not be using the right word. She was skipping some part of the process.
But she had to
know
because she was being lazy, or because she was trying to have an outcome, right? Like,
well, I'm gonna let you and the Midtown crowd figure that out. I'm out here in Sims. You know what could I know, right?
I'm out the Midtown crowd. I'm not far from you in Sims, but Robert, I appreciate the call. I will look into the story. It is interesting to me. And I got some reading to do on that. And I better maybe even print this out because carry it with me down to Mardi Gras tomorrow and read up on it. All right, coming right back, more Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 12:50 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Mardi Gras, Fat Monday, Mardi Gras Eve. Parades throughout the day, IMs tonight. Tomorrow getting on the whole way through, double OMs. And by the way, too, it's fun seeing so many of y'all downtown on Saturday as we rode with the Joy Life on the Gulf Coast to benefit St. Jude parade that was kind of, you know, floral parades Saturday. It all looks like when you're standing there watching it, it's all just one parade, but it's different. Believe me, they let us know as we're at lineups, like this wave and it's this, you know, then y'all go and then you wait for some period of time, then another group go. So it's all kind of together when you're watching it, but several different groups. But it's always great to be there with the folks from Joy Life on the Gulf Coast, and it's great to see y'all. And those of y'all that held up signs, who you were, and FM Talk 106.5, I think y'all got, I have to hear from you on the text line, y'all got loaded up with throws. At least if I had anything to do with it. All right. We have time. Well, we'll get to this coming up next hour. Well, we'll have time, probably in the second half of next hour. Somebody said something about we can do this. The Doge dividend check, and I've talked about this for a couple weeks here, and somebody's saying, well, what's your take on it, unnamed texter? I'm not for it, and I know that puts me at odds with a lot of people. That's fine. I'm okay with it. The idea, I'm obsessed with the debt and the interest on the debt. I think this is a nation killer. And I mean, just specifically the interest in servicing the debt. The amount in the last fiscal year, it was bigger than the Defense Department budget. The interest, getting nothing for it. You know, I've said before, if I was in Washington, could work across the aisle, my pitch would be, hey, Democrats or Republicans out there that want to spend on different projects, give me 5 years here. Let's tackle this debt. And out of what we have been paying in interest, I will give y'all, is kind of like a Doge dividend. In other words, to get y'all on board to vote the way I want you to vote, we're going to pull some money back out for projects, for America. I would much rather, if we're going to have this kind of spending, which I'm not crazy about, but I'd much rather the millions or billions in debt service, as some portion of that would go for programs for the American people versus servicing debt. So that kind of puts me at, you know, this idea of the Doge dividend that is, I think, pretty popular because, heck, who doesn't want to get – none of this is no ink is dry on this yet. They had James Fish back. He had the proposal there for the Doge dividend check, and it would go out to tax-paying households. So I've asked about that. That's like, okay, so it's tax-paying households. It's $5,000, as we said, everybody's gets, which is about 20% of what Doge's $2 trillion cuts will be. So 79 billion tax-paying households would get $5,000 check. First of all, I could argue it and say, no, that money is being cut to pay down the debt. We're prolonging this debt cycle and interest by taking 20% off to give back to we the people, the taxpayers. I know that you'll say, well, that's my, it is your tax money, but it's going to continue to be your tax money going forward, servicing debt if we don't deal with it now. So that's the first thing. And also, if I want to make it like a side argument to make things difficult, to make things salty or whatever the kids say, it's wealth redistribution. Because if it's $5,000, it's $5,000 for every taxpaying family, regardless of what the tax implication was for that family. So the person that's, you know, spended, because I mean, you could be a taxpayer, and your net tax, after you net it, whatever, you spent $700 in taxes. I'm just coming up with a low number there in federal taxes. And then there's somebody else that their tax implication was $67,000 in a given year. But you both get a $5,000 check. I mean, this thing to me has, I mean, number one, yes, I do not like it because I think it prolongs taking care of our debt. But number two, I mean, so why are you, you know, why does one person get $5,000? One person that paid a whole lot more in taxes, they get a $5,000 check. And then the other person that's, you know, spent $32 in federal tax implication, they get a $5,000 check. Well, that doesn't seem right, does it? But the problem is those kind of arguments get lost and everybody going, heck yeah, I'd love to have the check. Yeah, okay, I get you'd love to have the check. I mean, I'm not going to, if it comes to me, I'm not going to turn it around. Everybody like, just send it back. I'm not going to do that either. But I want me not to get the check and you not to get the check and you not to get the check. I want all that to go to the debt. And then one day, wouldn't it be a beautiful thing that we weren't some debtor nation out there that's spending enormous amount of taxpayer money to service debt? Let's see, the text line here. Lacruta Bienville was canceled, was supposed to be at 5 o'clock yesterday, but was on the schedule on Fox 10 and others. Finally, my wife looked up Mobile Mask and realized it was not there around 5:30. All right. Don't know. I mean, I did Joe Kane Day, and I was, after the Joe Kane procession thing, I was in a venue and was not there for the late parade. I was down there, but I was not looking at it. C.B. Carl said, talking about making reefs, we used to drive vehicles till they died. Then we'd take them to the reef maker. They would drain the fluids out, load them up on a barge. When they got them loaded up, the guy would let us know. Then we would go down to Floribama till closing, then go out to Alabama Point to watch them head out the pass. The good old days. Yeah, you used to, a lot of stuff got sunk. As I was a young man at Dolphin Island, watching things that were leaving to go get sunk. Today, you can still sink things, but there's a lot, and it, for good reason. I mean, I would say the concrete structures, we've talked about that on the outdoor show, and several times I know you get Dr. Sean Powers in here, where they've done the studies of which ones have more fish on them. And I think, you know, chicken coops get more fish on them quickly, but long-term, they go away. They disintegrate versus one of the concrete structures. It takes longer, but then if it doesn't get covered up out there, you have it for a lot longer. What a cool picture, Brandon. Was that AI or is that a real picture? Brandon sent me a picture. Got the lighthouse and the SS United States in there. That's cool. Very cool picture. Did you take that? Because it looked like you'd have to be on a boat. Maybe you could have taken that with a zoom lens from Fort Gaines, but you'd have to, I think you'd be in a boat in that picture. That's a great picture, Brandon. All right, this unnamed texture says, I agree with you, pay down the debt and then reduce taxes. That will be our dividend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just get after it. This whole thing, like, well, we can, the people will be happy with us if we give them a check. The people will be happy when we aren't some egregious debtor nation. Oh, Sean, coming back, he had said that the other day. Again, let me just not file taxes this year. No, see, Ed, Sean, I disagree with that too. We got it. This is what stinks. This is why, you know, no party wants to take this, because Republicans are going to be talking about cutting taxes. And we're probably going to talk cutting taxes right now to stimulate the economy that's floundering out there. So they want to cut taxes. But this is not the time. You got to do both things here. You got to exercise and stop overeating. Right? I mean, to talk about making a difference for somebody's weights. Well, that's one of these situations. We got to continue to pay the debt and have more money to pay the debt. These DOGE cuts aren't just like a, for some people, I think they think it's like just a political scalp. To me, it's not. I don't see it that way. It's not a political scalp. To me, it's something that should have been done, and we've been promised by administrations of both parties for a long time. And it is a sickness our country has to live with that much debt. And don't, the people have patted me on my head all, you know, for decades saying, you just don't understand it. It's a good thing. It's not a good thing. It's not okay. All right, let's see. Thomas. Oh, Thomas from Irvington. I saw you. Said, thanks for the throws, but I just about had a heart attack when I paid $30 for two corn dogs. Yeah, it's that inflation, that Mardi Gras inflation going on. All right, Martin says, whatever money Trump gives back to us, I think the seniors and veterans should get more. There you go. Thank you. I think we should just actually use it to pay debt. I know, not very popular. Hour number two on the way.